Calligraphy Podcast, a place where you get to listen to spirit-filled messages and inspirational teachings that will shape and transform your life into the similitude of the divine God, designing a divine world through the eternal message of Christ and His Spirit. Right here on Calligraphy, sign in and get transformed.
In a generation where creation and everything around us grounds to experience the manifestation of God's children, will you become what God has predestined you to be? The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. Hello, wonderful family. This is G.S. Richard here and welcome to Calligraphy Podcast. Today, you are going to continue with our brand new series that we started about a week ago. We are going to talk on matters relating to the sons and daughters of God. What are these sons and daughters of God? Who are these sons and daughters of God? And what are the many-sided purposes of these sons and daughters of God? Before that, I want us to listen to a very wonderful and a very anointed worship song from a member of the Calligraphy team. Ministering with me here is Eden. She will lead us through a very short period of worship. Then we will delve back into this matter and we will continue. Here is Eden.
You are about to experience a life-changing moment. You won't leave the same way you came, 'cause He's in our very midst. You'll be healed, delivered. He's here to set you free. And because God is here, anything can happen in here, in here, in here. Anything can happen in here, 'cause all we want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. All we want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. All we really want, hey, is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high.
Everything that God made was made for a particular purpose. Last week, we got to understand that there was nothing made by God that was useless or purposeless. He made everything to fulfill a plan that was to reveal Christ Jesus to the world. So last week, or in the previous episode, we talked on matters relating to the salvation of God, the God's design of salvation, how He wants all men or all people to be saved and come to the revelation of the truth, who is Christ Jesus. We also move on further to talk on some stuff concerning the sixth dispensation of time, how that we have sixth dispensation of time, that the time in the spiritual realm is something that is a cycle. It starts from eternity and ends in eternity. But in this episode, we're focusing on something that I captured a little bit in the previous episode about why Christ Jesus was sent to come and die for us and bring us back into His kingdom. And we got to understand from Luke 15 that Jesus Christ used three things to symbolize why He came to die for man. That was, we were His sheep, we were his queen, and we were his children, that he could never forsake us. So in this episode, we want to build up further on that. We want to consider matters that relates to the sons and daughters of God. The sons and daughters of God. As I said earlier, we'll be looking on what are these sons of God, who are the sons of God, and what are their many-sided purposes, or what are the many-sided purposes of the sons and daughters of God. But before that, I want us to get an understanding of this thing. The Bible makes it clear, or makes it understand, that everything exists because of a particular purpose. Everything exists because of a particular purpose. And this purpose exists because of one thing. Purpose exists, or the ability, or we able to go about stuff, to fulfill something in our lives, exists because of one thing, and that is time. I want to read Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 from the King James Version, that we get to know some few stuff, then we head straight into the matter. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, to everything there is a season. Just know the words very carefully. To everything there is a season and a time, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, and a time to everything under the heaven. So purpose actually exist because of the existence of time. Purpose exist because of the existence of time. So I want us to understand this, that anytime you see an introduction of time, or an introduction of a particular season in any realm, there is a purpose that is established. So last week, you got to understand different realm of time, or different dispensation of time. We saw in the beginning, before the foundation of the world, from the foundation of the world, we saw the end of time, and we saw eternity. Every single time, or every single realm of time, has a purpose that needs to be established, or a purpose is established, and that purpose ought to be brought into completion. So purpose runs on the wings of time. Purpose runs on the wings of time. And purpose exists because of the existence of time. And whenever there is a dispensation of a time, there is a purpose to be done, or there is a purpose to be accomplished. So we are, or we find ourselves in a realm of time where everything that was set in place, consider the creation, consider the sun, the moon, everything that was made, consider the heaven, consider the earth, everything that God made within a specific frame of time was made to fulfill a particular plan, or was made for a purpose, as you saw in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. So when God said, or when the Bible declared, that in the beginning everything that was made, created, restored, formed, or done, after these words, in the beginning, till the end of everything, exists for a purpose. So from the beginning, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, that is a dispensation of time that runs to the end of time. We saw the sixth dispensation of time in the previous episode. So if probably you've not listened to that podcast or listened to that episode, I will ask or advise that you listen to that episode here. So anytime there is, as I said earlier, there is a time, there is a purpose to be accomplished. So everything, including you, including everything that we see around us, exists because of a purpose. And these three words in Genesis 1:1, when God said, or when the Bible recorded, that in the beginning, everything that followed, the heaven, the earth, every single thing, I mean every single thing that you can think of, that followed, exists because of time. But I want to focus on one aspect of this area. We want to focus on one aspect of this area. You know, that God's first purpose towards man was revealed in God making man to be like him. God's first purpose, his very first purpose in making man was revealed in making man to be like him. What do I mean? That is to say that man was made by God to be children unto him. Man was made by God to be children unto him. So God actually made man to be children unto him, or for man to be sons and daughters unto him. And we see this in 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. I'll be reading from the King James Version. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. The Bible reads, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." What manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. We also see this in Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2 verse 10. Hebrews 2 verse 10. Last week I was saying the whole of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, is a very wonderful book that you have to get time for yourself and read, especially the chapter 2 of that book. Hebrews 2 verse 10 reads, "For it became him for whom all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to become or to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." So we see God's plan for man, or in making man, actually was to make man to be sons and daughters unto him. To be sons and daughters unto him. I want to read Ephesians 1 verse 4 to 6 from the Passion Translation. Ephesians 4 verse 1 to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 to 6. "And he chose us to be his very own." Listen to the words very carefully. He chose us, talking about God here. "He chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe." In the previous episode, we talked on before the foundation of the universe. "Because of his great love, he ordained us." Ordained can also mean he established us so that we should be as holy in his eyes and as unstained and innocent. Verse 5, for it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us will glorify his grace. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus, he has for us, and this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. So we see from the beginning that God's original idea, as you saw from Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 to 6, is that God actually wanted to make man to be children unto him. To be children unto me. See that in the verse 5. "For it was perfect in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Christ Jesus." And that brings us to this point. Although it was God's intention to make man to be sons and daughters unto him, but not every single person in this world are actually sons and daughters of God. In a previous episode, we talked about a matter relating to this, or to what I'm talking about. That although God's plan was for us to have or to carry his nature, but not every single person existing in this world has the nature of God. The same thing applies to this area. Already, it is God's plan. It is God's perfect plan to make us, or to make us, sons and daughters unto him. But not every single person is a son or is a daughter unto God. We become a son or daughter unto God through our perfect union with Christ Jesus, the Anointed One. It is only in believing and having faith in Christ Jesus that we are given the power to become God's sons and daughter. To become God's sons and daughters. It is through our union with Christ Jesus. You see that in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. And the Bible reads, "But as many as received him," he's talking about Christ Jesus, "as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So it is through our union, it is through our believing in Christ Jesus that it is conferred to us to become the sons and daughters of God. So this subject about the sons of God should be something that we should cherish so much, or should be something that should be ingrained in our system, that knowing this identity should precede any form of knowledge to become any other thing. The sons and daughters of God, or knowing our identity as the sons and daughters of God, should precede any form of knowledge in becoming any other thing, or becoming or fulfilling any other plan of God. We want to focus on, who are these sons and daughters of God? What makes them the sons of God? But first, I want us to know this, that the sons of God are not angels. The sons of God are different from the angels of God. I'm saying this because of what the Bible records in Genesis chapter 6. We get to read, or we see something like the sons of God, and many people allude this to angels of God. Actually, the sons of God used in that verse of scripture, we're talking about human beings, or actually men, like people of God. They were the sons of God. If you have to study the chapter 6 and the chapter 5 in context, you get to understand that the sons of God that the Bible was referring to were actually the generation the Bible was mentioning in the chapter 5, talking about Seth, talking about Methuselah, talking about Noah, and all these people. These were the sons of God. So I want you to understand that the sons of God are nowhere near angels of God. The sons of God are not the angels of God. So, first point, who are these sons of God? The sons of God ranks a little lower than God, or Elohim, or God the Creator. The sons of God ranks a little lower than God. And you see this in Psalm chapter 8. Let me read that very quickly. Psalm chapter 8. I'm reading from the Passion Translation, Psalm 8, verse 4 to 5. This is David speaking. He really doesn't understand why God would be infatuated with the sons of Adam, or the son of the generation that comes after Adam. He says, "Compared to all this cosmic glory, why would you bother with puny mortal man, or be infatuated with Adam's son? Yet what honor you have given to men, created only a little lower than Elohim, crowned like kings and queens with glory and magnificence." So we see that the sons of God ranks a little lower than God. Number two, the sons of God are made to live on a constant revelation of God. This is very key. I want you to know this very carefully. The sons of God are made to live on a constant revelation of God. This gives a very huge distinction between the sons of God or the seed that belongs to God and the seed that belongs to the devil or the enemy. Actually, there is, or we've ignored some aspect of God's design, that was supposed to keep us going in life, or that was supposed to hold us or maintain or sustain us in life. God actually made man to be taught by the Spirit of God. God made man to be taught by the Spirit of God. So when I say man was made to, or the sons and daughters of God were made to live on a constant revelation of God, I'm trying to say that God made us to be taught by the Spirit of God. That was our first point, or our first contact. That should be our first contact in receiving knowledge, to receive knowledge from the Spirit of God. And you begin to wonder why or how Adam was able to name these animals or these creatures around him. You begin to wonder, how was he able to do that? Because there was nothing from the external that was teaching him. You begin to understand that it was the power or the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life that was revealing to him God's intention, that was revealing to him God's plans towards creation. So there is a design of God. Actually, there is God's design of education. God specifically designed an education for man. And maybe you might have ignored this form of education, but it is God's education for man. God actually designed three forms of education for man. Number one, he designed an internal education. That is an education that is a godly education of the Spirit of God. As I said earlier, the sons and daughters of God were to live on a constant revelation of God, and that means that they are to be taught by the Spirit of God. And the first point of education that God designed was an internal education, that is man learning from within or being taught from within. And we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 to 13. Although we lost the identity, or man lost the identity, but everything was restored back to him when he came back into Christ Jesus. So 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 to 13. For we did not receive the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished upon us. Verse 13, listen to this carefully. And we articulate these realities with the words imparted to us by the Spirit, and not with words taught by human wisdom. We join together with Spirit revealed truths, with Spirit revealed words. So we get to see that the sons of God, or by the virtue and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, that was God's plan, that he first instituted the Holy Spirit in the life of man. By that virtue, man, or the sons and daughters of God, were made to live on that constant revelation of God. The second form of education was a godly education of the sons of God to creation. The sons and daughters of God were to teach creation, or by their living, by their relation with each other, they were to reveal the many-sided wisdom of God. They were to reveal the many-sided glory of God. They were to reveal the many-sided knowledge of God to creation. Then the third point, or the third design of God's creation, or the third order, is education on or into the natural things of this world. Education into the natural things of this world. It is not bad, actually, that there is science, or there is a study into physics, or there is a study into chemistry or engineering or whatsoever. It was actually a design that the visible things of creation were to show us, or were to teach us to know the invincible attributes of God. So it is not really bad that man or mankind study into science or physics or whatsoever. The main idea or the intention should be that it should reveal Christ Jesus, or it should reveal God in our lives. I want to read Romans chapter 1 verse 19 to 20 from the Passion Translation. In reality, the truth of God is known instinctively, for God has embedded this knowledge inside every human heart. Verse 20. Opposition to truth cannot be excused on the basis of ignorance, because from the creation of the world, the invincible qualities of God's nature have made visible, such as his eternal power and transcendence. He has made his wonderful attributes easily perceived, for seeing the visible makes us understand the invincible. So then, this leaves everyone without excuse. So God actually designed three forms of education, or three order of education, that man should be taught from within. That is the Spirit of God teaching man or revealing to man the things of God. Then a godly education, where the sons of God reveal the knowledge of God to creation. Then a study or education into the matters or into the natural world, that is into the science, into physics, into agriculture, or into whatever things. But the idea should be that it should reveal Christ Jesus. It should point towards God. It should not pervert. It should not pervert or give any rude idea about God, but it is to reveal the glory of God. So let's get back to who are these sons of God. Who are these sons of God? Number three, I think it's number three. The sons of God were made to be carriers of God's nature. The sons of God, they are the carriers of God's nature. And we see this in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 to 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 to 4. I want you to listen carefully. Who are these? We are talking about who are these sons of God. You talk about the sons of God ranks a little lower than God. The sons of God are made to live on a constant revelation of God. And we've talked on the three design of God's education for man: eternal education, a godly education of the sons of God to creation, and education into the natural world or into the visible creation to reveal the invincible attributes or qualities of God. So you're focusing on the sons of God are carriers of the nature of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 to 4. Listen carefully. Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. Listen to the verse 4. As a result of this, he has given you or me magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires of the world. So we see that man or the sons of God were made to be partakers of the divine nature of God. The next one. The sons of God are carriers of the identity of God. The sons of God are carriers of the identity of God. The next one is, the sons of God are carriers of the glory of God. Actually, the sons of God were made to be carriers of six things. We are now on the third one. The sons of God are carriers of the glory of God, and we see this in Romans chapter 8 verse 17. Romans 8 17. Romans 8 17. Okay, And since we are His true children, we qualify to share all His treasures. For indeed we are heirs of God Himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that He is and all that He has. We will experience being co-glorified with Him, provided that we accept His sufferings as our own. So you see that we are co-heirs with God, and we will be co-glorified with Him. Although the Bible says that God does not share His glory with another. But just wait a minute. We are not just another. We are the sons of God. We are co-heirs with Christ Jesus. So whatever treasure that He has, we also have. Let's read John chapter 17, verse 21 to 23. We are talking on the sons of God are made to be carriers of the glory of God. John 17, 21 to 23. This is Jesus praying. He's saying, I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us, so that the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory, listen carefully, for the very glory you have given to me, I have given to them, so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity, and the world will be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. So we see that Jesus actually prayed that the Father will give the same glory that He bestowed upon Him to the sons and daughters of God. So we are made to be also carriers of the glory of God. Also, the next point is the sons of God are carriers of the presence of God. And this is by the virtue of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We receive the Holy Spirit, and by receiving the Holy Spirit in our lives, we receive the fullness or the presence of God in our lives. Read this in Luke chapter 17, Luke 17, 21. Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit, He said, Luke chapter 17, 21. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. We carry the presence of God within us. Every son and daughter of God carries the presence of God. You have to understand this, because this gives us the distinction over the sea that belongs to the evil one. This gives us the distinction. All that I'm saying gives us the distinction. The identity of these sons of God, it gives us, or it separates us from the world, it separates us from the seed that belongs to the enemy. So we know that the sons of God are carriers of the nature of God, they are carriers of the identity of God, they are carriers of the glory of God, they are carriers of the presence of God. The next one is they are carriers of the power of God. Jesus said, or Jesus told His disciples, that when the Holy Spirit comes in their life, they will receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Acts 1 verse 8. But I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be filled with power. You will be filled with power, and you will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, and even to the remotest places on the earth. So we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, or receive the power of God by the Holy Spirit in our lives. So the sons and daughters of God are actually carriers of the power of God. And Ephesians 3, I think the verse 19. Just listen to this. This is wonderful. Now, God wants to work through us, but He wants His power to be residing in us so that you work through that power that is at work in us. Just listen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. Sorry, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. You also see this power in Romans, that this, if the same power that raised Jesus Christ dwells in us, we have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So from this we are able to, when we are being conferred with the legal authority to exercise this power, by we being the sons of God and carrying this power of God in our lives, we are able to exercise this power over the realm of the world or over the earth. Then the last one is, the sons of God are carriers of the divine life or the eternal life of God. John 10:10 makes it clear that Jesus said that He came to give us life, and the life that He gave that life in abundance. He gave this life in abundance, and the very life in Christ Jesus, the very life in Christ Jesus is actually the divine life and also the eternal life. He is the carrier, or He is a carrier, or He is eternal life, and by him being in our lives, we have this eternal life of God. I want to read 1 John chapter 5. Verse 11 and 12. Listen carefully. And this is the record that God had given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that had the Son had life, and he that had not the Son of God had not life. So by virtue of the Son of God in our lives, we have the divine life or the eternal life of God in us. And this is the life that leads us, or that causes us to express the nature of God, and also causes us to live the eternal or the life of God here on earth. Then the last 2 points on who are the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? The sons of God are the custodians or the rulers over the earth or God's creation. They are the custodians and rulers of God's creation or over the earth. God actually or specifically made man to be custodian over the natural world. I want you to understand this, that I said earlier that everything that came after in the beginning in Genesis 1:1 was made for a purpose. So the heavens and the earth were made for a purpose. So God made the heaven and the earth for a purpose. God established His throne in the heavens. Then by making man, let me start from this point, that God is a spirit, and a spirit person or a spirit man or a spirit cannot reside in a natural world. For a spirit to reside or to live or to inhabit a natural world, he needs to take a form of a natural body or a natural element. Please hope you are getting this. For God or for a spirit to be able to be legal in a natural world, he needs to take the form of a natural something or a natural body. So we read in Bible, that's in John, that Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. First, he became what? Flesh. And what? He dwelt among us. It was illegal for him to dwell in a natural world without him having a flesh or him having what, a physical body. So this is the that was the same concept or ideology why God made man or made sons and daughters unto him, that he will fill this natural man, that's them having the physical body in this natural world, because it is only the physical man or a person with a natural body that can operate in a natural realm. So he made man, that's a natural person or a physical body, and he filled that man with his identity, with his nature, with his likeness, so that he can express through man, so that he can express or live through man to effect his plans and will on this natural earth. So God is invincible. He makes a visible man to live in a natural world so that he can effect his plans on this earth. So the sons and daughters of God are to look into the invincible realm of the heaven and replicate the design, the will, the plans and purposes of God here on earth. And the last one, then I'll end on who are these sons and daughters of God. The true sons and daughters of God are the ones who are led by the Spirit of God. The true sons and daughters of God are the ones who are led by the Spirit of God. You see this in the life or in the ministry of Christ Jesus, that after he was baptized, the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So it is something, or it is something that classifies or that distinguishes these sons and daughters of God. They are led by the Spirit of God. And we see this in Romans chapter 8 verse 14 from the Passion Translation. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Spirit of God. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Spirit of God. So a quick recap, we're talking about who are these sons and daughters of God, and we got to know that the sons of God, number one, are made a little lower or ranks a little lower than God. Number two, the sons and daughters of God are made to live on a constant revelation of God. Number three, the sons and daughters of God are made to be carriers of the nature of God. Number four, the sons and daughters of God are made to be carriers of the identity of God. Number five, the sons and daughters of God are made to be carriers of the glory of God. Number six, the sons and daughters of God are made to be carriers of the presence of God. Number seven, the sons and daughters of God are made to be carriers of the power of God. Number eight, they are made to be carriers of the life or the divine life of God. And also number nine, the sons and daughters of God are made, or they were made, or they are the custodians of the earthly world or the creation of God. And the last one is the sons, or the true sons of God, are the ones who are led by the Spirit of God. So you will ask, with all this distinction, what are the many-sided purposes of these sons and daughters of God? What are the many purposes of these sons and daughters of God? I want us to consider some five key areas. The number one is the sons, and one of the key purposes or the many-sided purposes of the sons and daughters of God is that they are made to have dominion over the earth or creation. I explained this. Just about a few moments ago, that the sons and daughters of God are the ones who are in charge. They are in charge of creation, and they are to see to it that the plans and the will and the purposes of God that is in heaven are being replicated, or they are being designed in this earthly realm. So it is our duty. It is our duty as sons and daughters of God to have dominion, or to be the ones operating or streaming down the will and the purpose of God, to be in effect. We are the ones to bring the culture of God down. We are the ones to see that the operation of God and his kingdom plans on earth are in full effect. Then number two, the sons and daughters of God are intercessors. You should know this carefully. They are intercessors. They are to pray for the nation. They are to pray to see the glory of God come down, to see the presence of God come down, to see the power of God come down. They are to, by their prayer or by their intercession, to shift cultures, to shift or transform lives, to shift or transform paradigm, to stream down the purpose and the will of God. And actually, you really are shutting heaven's operations on earth if and when you are not praying or interceding continually. Because anytime you enter into a place of prayer, you are actually aligning yourself into the will and purpose of God. You are also drawing or streaming down the purpose and plans of God onto this earth. Then the third point, the many-sided purposes of the sons and daughters of God, is that we are to reveal Christ to creation. We are to reveal Christ Jesus to creation or to the world. By the life of Christ, we live out or we demonstrate to the world, reveal Christ Jesus to the world. By living or by the nature that we have received from Christ or we have received from God, we are to demonstrate or we are to reveal to the world that this really is what Christ is about, or this really is what God's intention of making man is about. So we are to reveal this life of God to the world, and that is our purpose. That is the purpose of every single son or daughter of God, wherever you are. I didn't really start with purposes that include doctor or a nurse or whatever purpose. I wanted us to understand this concept, because when we get to understand our true identity as sons and daughters of God, any other thing that we will be involved in will be to bring the glory of God or to glorify Jesus, because everything that we have to do actually is to glorify God. So the sons, or one of the purpose or the many-sided purposes of the sons and daughters of God, is that they are to reveal Christ Jesus to the world, and also they are to speak or preach the good news about Christ and his kingdom, and also they are to reveal Christ Jesus to the world by their fulfillment of their God-given purpose an assignment here on earth. Then the fourth point, the sons and daughters of God are to reveal, one of their key purposes is that they are to reveal the mystery or the many-sided wisdom, the many-sided glory to the angels and principalities of this world. We read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. The purpose of this was to unveil before every throne and rank of angelic orders in the heavenly realm God's full and diverse wisdom revealed through the church. The sons and daughters of God forms part of the body of Christ. I'll get back to that area in the next point. But the sons and daughters of God are to reveal the many-sided wisdom of God, the many-sided glory of God. They are to reveal the knowledge of God to the principalities and the angelic, or to the heavenly realm, or to the angelic orders. You know, when God was giving the design to Moses on how to design the Ark of the Testimony or the Ark of the Covenant, he said the cherub should be made in a way that they should gaze upon the mercy seat. We are to gaze upon the mercy seat. So they are, the angelic orders are gazing upon the things that Christ came to do for, that Christ came to do for man. They really do not understand that who are these people that Christ came to die for them, because they saw part of these angelic beings being thrown down by God onto the earth, but God not come back for them. But why would God come back for mere puny man who sometimes even rebel against him. Why would God come down to save these very people who are rebellious even to him? So the angels, or through us, through our living, we are to reveal this mystery, this wisdom of God to this angelic, others in the heavenly realm. So every son and daughter of God are actually, or is, a professor in the university of God, teaching the angelic others the many wisdom, or the many-sided wisdom of God. Then the next point, the sons and daughters of God are members of Christ's body. They form part of the body of Christ. The sons and daughters of God form the body of Christ, or you say the church of Christ. And the church of Christ was formed from the blood and water from his side, or that gushed out from his side on Calvary's cross when he was pierced. And that was also an illustration of how the woman came from the side of man. You know, the woman came from the side of man. That was his bride, his bride. So the church is also the bride of God, or the bride for Christ Jesus. And the church was established by the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and we are baptized into this body. We have baptism into or with the Holy Spirit, but we are baptized into this body of Christ Jesus. By we being the sons and daughters of God, we are being baptized into this body. I want us to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Now, we are being baptized into this body. Every son and daughter of God is part of the body of Christ, and you are being part to fulfill a purpose. You are being part to fulfill a plan. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one Spirit we are immersed and mingled into one single body, and no matter our status, whether we are Jews or non-Jews, oppressed or free, we are all privileged to drink deeply of the same Holy Spirit of God. So the sons and daughters of God are baptized, no matter who they were, whether they were Jews or they were non-Jews, they are being baptized into the body of Christ Jesus, or the church of Christ. And the church of Christ is not necessarily the physical building made of natural element, but the real personality of Christ Jesus. Christ is not complete without the members of his body. Christ Jesus is the head of the body, and it is the other members of the body that makes him complete. And we are the sons and daughters of God that complete this mystery of Christ Jesus. I want to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. For his body has been formed in his image, and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. And as these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body, we are built up and made perfect in love. So I want to add that we are in this body, we are members of Christ's body, we are being given spiritual gifts, we are being given divine gifts to contribute to the body, or to contribute to the growth of every single person in the body of Christ Jesus. So the church, or Christ Jesus, is the head of the church, and all the oil of his glory, of his power, of his knowledge, of his wisdom flows and is revealed in the church. So as you said earlier, that the church reveals Christ Jesus to the world, and also reveals Christ Jesus to the angelic orders. So all the oil of Christ's glory, his power, his knowledge, his will are being revealed in the members of his body. So we are the one who carries this to the world, we are the one who shows this to the world. So it should be your call, it should be your aim that we demonstrate the knowledge of Christ to the world. We demonstrate the power of Christ to the world. We demonstrate the wisdom of Christ to the world, because you are part of his body. And this oil of his wisdom, his knowledge, his power, his glory flows from his head, flows from his head to every part of the body. And all these are done to fulfill a greater plan and to reveal Christ Jesus to the world as a whole. So I'll talk on the last purpose. The last purpose, or the last many-sided purpose of the sons of God. Then we will end this episode. I hope this has been a blessing to you. So the last one that I want us to know is that the sons and daughters of the world of God are the ones to bring discernment to the world. They are the one to bring discernment to the world. We are living in a generation where everything seems perverted. We are living in an untoward generation. There seems to be a mingle. We really do not know the truth. We really do not know what is the truth, what is good, what is right, or what is the wrong thing. How do we do this, or what is the perfect or the exact way of doing this? But it is the sons and daughters of God who really are to stand up. Jesus said they are the light of the world. They are the ones to stand up and reveal or discern the knowledge of God or the things of God and reveal it to the world. They are to educate the world, as we said. The sons and daughters of God are to educate the world. So they are to discern the truth and reveal this to the world. So there really aren't any distinction between light and darkness in this world. So it is the duty of the sons and daughters of God to reveal this, the truth, or to reveal the knowledge or the pure wisdom that comes from above to the world. The sons and daughters of God are the ones to bring discernment into these areas by the virtue and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because the natural man cannot do this. The natural man is incapable to bring discernment to the world. No, the natural man is incapable to bring discernment to the world. It is the sons and daughters of God who have the power of the Holy Spirit, or who have the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, who are able to bring discernment to the world. I want us to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15. Let me start from verse 14. Someone living on an entirely human level rejects the revelation of God's Spirit. This is talking about the natural man, the person who has not received the Spirit of God. For they make no sense to him. He cannot understand the revelations of the Spirit, because they are only discovered by illumination of the Spirit. Verse 15. Those who live in the Spirit are able to carefully evaluate all things, and they are subject to the scrutiny of no one but God. So the sons of God, by the power or by the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, are able to discern or bring light into the dark things of the world, into the gray areas of the world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Paul is admonishing us that we should stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. We have a life to live. Every single son and daughter of God have the kingdom life to live, and that is the life that should be your focus to live on this earth. You are to establish, or you are to live the culture of heaven here on earth. God made you to live supernaturally in a natural world. So I'm continuing. Romans 12, 2. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you, listen carefully, to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. So the role or one of the roles or one of the purpose. I think this purpose is very vital to the sons of God and also to the world. We are the ones to bring discernment, to bring discernment into the things of God, or to stream down the truth and reveal them unto the world. I think this has been a blessing unto you. I believe this has been a blessing unto you. So I want to do a quick recap on the many-sided purposes of the sons and daughters of God. Number one, we said the sons and daughters of God are to have dominion over creation. They are to be in charge over creation. Number two, they are to be intercessors. They have to stand in the gap to pray, to stream down the will and purpose of God here on earth. They are to design heaven on earth. Number three, they are to reveal Christ to the world. They are to reveal Christ to the world. And also, number four, they are to reveal the mystery and the many-sided wisdom, the many-sided glory of God to the angelic orders and principalities in the world. Then number five, the sons and daughters of God form part of the body of Christ, and they forming part of the body of Christ, they are being conferred with divine gifts which they are to use to function in this body for a particular purpose or to fulfill a particular plan. Then the last one we talk on was the sons and daughters of God are to bring discernment into the dark areas of life, into the dark side or the gray areas of life. I believe this has been a very wonderful blessing unto you. I want to pray for you that the Lord Jesus will in his own way will give us the wisdom and the enlightenment and the spiritual understanding to cherish these wonderful things, that you give us a heart to perceive his intention and his plan for our lives, in the mighty name of Jesus. Okay, so I want to before I end everything, I want to talk to you about some things. You have opened an opportunity, or given the opportunity for you to become a member. You can sign up for free to become a member of the Calligraphy family. We are actually targeting 5,000 people worldwide. We want to impact them with the life of God. We want to impact them with the light that Christ Jesus has given unto us. We want to see a great transformation in this world. So you can sign up for free. You can go to our website, calligraphyconcepts.wordpress.com. You can visit our site. Then you sign up to become a member of the Calligraphy family. Then from there you become a broadcaster. You broadcast this inspirational content, this broadcast or this podcast to the world. We are reaching 5,000 people around the world with the knowledge of God and with the truth of God. And if this episode or any of the episode has been a blessing unto you, you can comment, you can share your testimony. If it has been a blessing unto you in any area of your life, you can share, or you can comment, or you can share your testimony. You can do this by going to our website. You find on the menu, you find the podcast section. Then you scroll down to the end. There is an area that will allow you to share your comments or your testimony. Or if you have any question that you want to ask us, that you want us to answer to you, or anything that is bothering your mind, you can share it with us. Then we will answer that in the next episode. And also, the questions and the testimony that you share, we will read it to the world, or we read it in the preceding episode. So thank you so much for tuning in to listen to this podcast. May God richly bless you so much, and may you stay fresh in the power and in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I know that God is doing a mighty thing. There's a mighty move of God coming, and you can't afford to miss this. You have to be willing, and you have to be so much determined to know your identity and to walk in the knowledge of your purpose here on earth. So I'll see you again next week. We are going to continue with a new episode, a very fresh and a very powerful one. So thank you, and God bless. Shalom.